Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Michelle, and you are on the couch. As you always are, Tuesdays around lunchtime, noon here, Pacific Standard Time, wherever you're at, in the U.S. of A., all over the world joining us. Thank you so much, guys, for being here today. As always, I have a great show because I have an amazing guest who's written a wonderful book. So I think you're going to really get a lot out of today's interview. And his name is Aaron McCormick. You can see him right now on the screen with me. He's going to be talking about his latest inspirational book, which is called Unbounded, Journey to Your Within. It's really amazing. Thank you so much for being here with me. It's great to have you.
Hey, Dr. Michelle, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I just want to open up the show by saying that by all rights, you know, you should have been a casualty of a lot of things growing up in your life. So I have a lot of questions about that, as I'm sure a lot of readers and listeners might have it, and viewers as well. By the way, guys, if you want to ask a question, let me know. Reach out, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com here on the couch. straightdoctalk@gmail.com. If you have any questions for Aaron, lay it on me, because I'm sure he'll be happy to answer some of your questions regarding his book. And this book right here, check it out. Too much glare? There we go. That's better. All right. Good picture, by the way. Nice.
Thank you.
You know, what I loved reading about your book is your amazing journey. You know, I mean, with no college education, actually, but you did later, became an amazingly successful man in your early 20s. And I'm reading here, a hugely successful corporate enterprise software salesman, making millions of dollars for the company and yourself, by the way, climbing from company to company to the top. And you also won the prestigious Best of IBM Award. That's given to like 1%.
Right.
Of 400,000 people, really? Man, really?
Super humbling, I know.
Oh, see, that's the deal. I mean, that's who you are. It is super humbling to you, but to a lot of folks, it's like, man, that's amazing. Good for you. But along your way, you also earned an MBA and created an amazing life for yourself and your family. And a lot of people are going to say, how did this man do this? I mean, how did he do it? Well, two words that you talk about in your book, which I loved. You didn't say the usual, I pushed my way to the top. You know, my ambition was to outsmart everybody else. I was going to rock it and show everybody who I was made of. Mm-mm. Nope.
Right.
You made it with joy and empathy. What? God bless you. Let's talk about that joy and empathy in just a bit, because I'm getting that vibe from you right now. What was it that just really moved you to write your book, Unbounded, Journey to Your Within?
Well, as I allude to the empathy aspect, helping me be fiscally or financially successful, that is really more of who I am than the proverbial business driven, you know, ambitious, money focused person. So because that's the case, all throughout my life, I've drawn people's questions, concerns, challenges, deep, profound things, whether it's family, career, internal views, experiences. And I would just tend to respond with very introspective questions, because I inherently, I've always known that, and this is what's helped me a lot in sales, is I didn't sell or push me onto anybody or the product. You're not selling, they're actually buying, right?
Wow.
So I always sit in the shoes of the other side. And I know that we're all extremely powerful beings that perceive ourselves to be our name, our sex, our nationality, our race, our experiences, our education, our job. But at the end of the day, we're all these, you know, super expansive, super powerful beings. So I would want people to derive their own answers, because to overly ask me is to, you know, to, or for me to assert my perspective or belief is to diminish what is an actual truth or answer that is latent already inside of them. So I would ask these questions and they would get these epiphanies
that
caused them to know their absolute answer, where they were previously unclear because they had all these absorbed, learned ideals, behaviors, energies, expectations that were vying for their experience. Because really our decisions create an experience. So these
energies
and ideals are vying to control our reality, our experience. And but by tapping into, right, or, you know, accessing the thing that you were before you began to absorb everything that has made you you. So all of the, at least in the physical context. So when you were a toddler, there was a spark, there was a way, an essence, a spirit, a personality that belied everything physical that you were being taught and molded. Sometimes it's perfectly in alignment with what you really are. In other cases, it's not, but you grow to learn cause and effect, and you grow to learn like, against this external force, there's a consequence. I mean, there's a lot of things that we already know, but we may not be quite aware of how much in conflict we've become to
greater
and lesser degrees in all parts of our life, right? So I would just ask these questions, and people would get these epiphanies of, oh, that's the answer for me in this relationship decision, or that's the answer in this career path, or that's the answer in this familial situation or social situation, etc. So I decided, rather than help purely on a onesie twosie basis, because I've always been an empath. I didn't know that term when I was young, but I've always been the anti-bully and the one that wanted to see people their strongest, happiest, you know, experience. So I just began thinking, why wouldn't I put together a compilation of truisms, universal truisms that we've all experienced, but we haven't quite deduced or got the conscious lesson. We haven't perceived the patterns that life has been trying to tell us, that we've been trying to tell ourselves.
Yes.
The effect, the result of path A, path B. And the paths are not specific paths, but it's more when we live extrinsically controlled by things that we think to be the case, but there's something still nagging, versus when we do the other thing. What are the cause and effect of doing one versus the other? And how do you get really congruent with your true essence? How do you know what is your true north in a situation versus what is an external foreign thing, foreign essence or energy or ideal that has shaped you? So to put it in a book form was my way of, I guess, my labor of love, if you will, to just share and pay these things forward so that you can do it on your own terms, in your own journey, and not a bunch of philosophical rhetoric or, you know, typically in the in self-help and inspiration, things like that. Sometimes it's very business focused and it's very idealistic. These are concepts you learn. Well, this idea of being able to discern your truth is a single thing that you will learn as layered, I mean, as played out across all these scenarios. But once you get better at understanding your truth, that fuels all the other so-called technical learnings you might, you know, try to go get to help you, you know, have a more fulfilling and or successful life on your own.
Beautifully said. Thank you for that. So you were sort of aware of being an intuitive person. You know, it sounds like you always had that spark, that spirit as a child. And, you know, by reading your story, and thank you so much for sharing that, guys. By the way, here's the book, Erin McCormick, Unbounded, which you can become. Read it, check it out. Great story. Amazing insight. It's also a self-help book to me. I just want to say, but I love that. People need that. You had your own difficult environment growing up. You know, and a lot of people would say, against all odds, this man was not going to become who he is and his journey that he took. Can you share a little bit more about that story and how you became who you are today?
Yeah, well, first I want to just get something clear, set a precedent that a lot of times people hear from authors or presumably successful people and you know, there's this implication or this feeling in the listener that they're here and I'm here, or they're over there, like this separation thing that has been so good, all these accolades. Because of course, what you read in the bio is the accolades, you know.
Right.
And the reality is, all the so-called bad stuff, and I've had a plentiful share. In fact, because I'm connected here creates actually more challenges, because we are in a very physical world that is vying for the control of our truth. And we chose this kind of thing. You know, one thing I talk about, Dr. Michelle, is how all of us have an awareness that we are bigger than these bodies. We're more than just this baby that then gets older and eventually dies. But logically, in the physical, we can't prove it.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's the basis of all of our life. So we're constantly in this state of the spirit, which is not always proven. It's not tangible. It's an instinct. It's a feeling versus the mind that thinks things are always provable. So when I think about this idea that somebody is over here because of natural abilities better than somebody else, the only thing that separates the people that are very inspirational or successful or fulfilled, personally happy. And by the way, the only gauge of success and fulfillment is by the actual individual. Ironic that we all gauge it by all these external aspects of success, money, awards, and all this. Stuff. You're the only one that lives your life. So a lot of people have a lot of these external awards and accolades and are miserable and they kill themselves, or they're on drugs and other. They need an escape because all this they got for the external thing, but it's still not congruent internally. So anyway, I want to level set there, because a lot of us are going through things both individually and collectively that are very dark seeming. And these things are very painful, uncomfortable, scary.
Yeah.
These things are actually forging you and helping you in very specific ways. I'm not trying to be metaphoric or esoteric and say, challenging serves you. We'll get into specifics later. So like in my case, and by the way, along that point, the real unbounding becomes or happens when you begin to connect the dots of all of your perceived successes and failures. I say perceived because everything we experience is based upon a learned system.
Yeah.
So therefore, it is success.
Right.
This, that, and the other.
Yeah.
That same thing applies to your, quote, failings, disappointments, challenges, and pains, because just like when we lay down, like we go to gym, you lay on the bench and you start lifting a weight, you're tearing the muscle.
Right.
You're tearing it down. And actually, that is serving. So the same is true of our essence or our truth. The
thing
that we came here to be has to undergo load before it really becomes the strong thing that it needs, it wants to be, and therefore is eventually a bit unbounded from the things, the biases and ideals that have shaped it but weren't really true to it. Well, you've got to press through and face some real honest truths
to
get there. In my case, I mean, I was, you know, this is the physical story of me. I was one of four children. Raised on the South Side of Chicago, predominantly Black, obviously. That's the crime capital right now. We also lived in Phoenix, Arizona, after my parents divorced when I was about three or four. So it was just three older siblings. My mom moved to Texas. then moved to Phoenix. We ended up back in Chicago from about 10 on. So early on, I got a little bit of exposure to things outside of what was exclusively Southside Chicago. And then from 10 on, it was purely that area. And I went through, obviously, school, got my first job, tech job. And that was, you know, $80,000, $100,000 a year. I was 19 years old. Whole story how that happened. That's also in the book. And then I eventually moved to Dallas, and then career kind of took off from there until I was, you know, in my 22, 23, $500,000-ish a year. I had $1 million house, all the toys and stuff. And I didn't realize the gravity of how significant that was at the time, significant in this world, in the paradigm of you can't, you're not supposed to, you're defined. I mean, I knew I didn't have a degree. I knew I was Black. I mean, I wasn't clueless, but at the same time, I always was aware that, and always felt that, you know, everything works on merit. And to an extent, it's true because the world perceives us as we perceive ourselves. So we really are our own limitation. And that, call it naivety or call it truth. I think it's the latter, where all of us really are one energy, in the sense that, if I just go metaphoric for a hot second, and religious, all religions of the world believe that God is two things: love, not all, but most, the big four or five, right? Christianity, Muslim, Buddhism, Hinduism. They believe that God is both love and that it is energy. Energy. And we're energy. Like, there's no, so some of us are very business and we're very physical, and we think that esotericism or talking about spirituality is woo woo speak, you know, that kind of thing. And like, no, scientifically, everything is matter. We are matter, and energy only transfers. It doesn't go away. It simply transitions. And you always have this gut instinct that, why did deja vu happen? Why were my ears ringing? We all have these very psychic intuition that shows we're all telepathically connected, you know? So
I agree.
Absolutely. So it's so important for us to get more in touch with that side. And if we can balance the two meaning the heart and the mind, we are overly mind egocentric. Ego meaning the human journey, the human ideals, the physical appearance, the physical accolades, and there is a spirit or an essence that is bigger, stronger, more true to you than the things that you think are what the world measures, engages each other, and interrelates to each other based upon, you know?
I do. I 100% agree with you. Beautifully said. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you are Facebook Live, LA Talk Radio, on split screen interview with my special guest today, Aaron McCormick. He's written an amazing book. It's called Unbounded: Journey to Your Within. And he said it's your own private personal journey, but he's sharing his journey and how, you know, his life turned around for him. I mean, it really, it's brilliant. And I love the way you say the luster never lasts. The cell phones, I guess. But,
really, the book really was written, and others have told me, and I'm thankful that this was their experience in reading it, that it felt like a mirror into themselves, because it's not a memoir. It's not another biography of and what I've overcome. I give a couple of examples for context, because how can I tell you to connect your dots if I don't give context for me connecting mine? But most of the book is universal experiences or circumstances, situations that you kind of have two options. I mean, in every experience, we have a calculated decision that we make. And it's either I'm going to be fear-based, I'm going to be very mind-based, or I'm going to be spirit-based. And it's a simple thing that we've been doing since we were children, where we weigh the pros and the cons of dissenting with something external, dissenting meaning disagreeing with. So it's a conversation, it's a relationship, it's a belief system that's being espoused to you by somebody or a, you know, some entity or group. It is a prevailing thought. Whatever the case may be, you have an immediate answer, an immediate truth of that's congruent inside of me as an absolute truth for me, or it isn't.
Yeah.
But at that moment, you also have a calculation of if I disagree, I have an immediate external, not so pleasant outcome. It's an argument. It is a lost friend, a relationship that comes to an end. And now I'm single. It is I'm out of work because I disagree with what this company or my job. I don't have joy in it, etc. So we decide, do I want that experience? Or if I just push down the fact this is not, you know, incongruency, I should, you know, as I say, with what's inside of me. The only repercussion there is I kind of go, but there's no real consequence. I got no change in income. I got no loss for it. So we, you know, habitually just push, suppress. And then we look up later on and we're wondering why our life is energetically misaligned. Energetically meaning, man, you know, what am I here for again?
Yes.
Why am I still at this job when I know I have this passion for this or that? Oh, that's right. There's no way to make money doing that. Or why am I in this relationship? I mean, this is not serving me. We're incompatible. But why am I in this religion? If, you know, there's things about it that somehow internally, whatever the case may be, right?
Yes.
So we look at others that have some specific thing that we've always wanted, like a bunch of money. And we go, man, how come I can't get that? Why? Well, because if you can't even magnetize or create and honor yourself with your truth, then how are you going to attract that kind of abundance when in the simplest ways you are actually bullying yourself?
Yes, it's bullying true. Yourself. No, so, it's really true. Beautiful. Yeah, and you talk about those binders, you know, that we all grow up with. Which, you know, you're right on, Aaron. I mean, it's about, you know, keeping ourselves away from who we are in our soul as loving, powerful, you know, beings. We are the higher power within and, you know, connecting without as well. So those boundaries and those linear three-dimensional, you know, things that sort of influence us and tell us who we are from our early family experiences and the negative experiences along the way, we buy into the words like failure, I failed, you know, or those people are bad, or, you know, judgment, that kind of thing. When what I understand from you, and I'm right on with you, is that it starts within here, and we need to go and do the heart-brain coherence and find out our own answers, whatever that means, but pause to find our own truth and our own joy and what resonates with us, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, to correct the detour.
Yes.
On our own, in our own ways.
Yes.
And at levels that are, I guess, comfortable. It's not comfortable to do it, but ways that feel right. Bring, you know, you bring more comfort.
Right.
Less conflict internally. You know, if you think about any other conflict with a boss, separate from that boss. Discomfort from, you know, conflict with your mate. You guys can either take a temporary separation or you can get in your car and take a drive. You know, friendships, they can change. You can still love and care about the person.
Right.
Recognize we're no longer aligned. Every external separation is possible. You can do it. But you can't really separate from you.
Right.
So if you're in conflict with you, you're going to hear that voice or feel. It's not, and even in the summary of the book, I say it's not even a voice. It's not words. It's just knowledge. It's an awareness that I'm not aligned. And that will nag you and it will stay there. It's inescapable. And because you're not aligned, you attract your alternate reality.
Right.
Meaning we are all energy and energy attracts things.
Oh, yes.
If you're in an alternate state of yourself, then everything that you're manifesting is a deviant picture, if you will, deviant experience from what you should actually be manifesting because your antenna, so to speak, is all scrambled by all sorts of factors. That is not what you really want. And then, but you're supposed to want them because you
right.
made yourself decide that you want them because of fear, conformity, all these things. So me happening to have all these experiences where I go against the external thing at grave consequences, so to speak, it doesn't mean that it was some glorious existence. It was hard as hell. I mean, there it's a struggle. But at the same time, the most fulfilling thing you can possibly be doing is to honor yourself. And the key is, how do you know when it's yourself versus a binder? That is the point of the mini exercises of the book.
Yes, so it is.
We all do better at honoring ourselves, because when you can't love what you don't know. And once you really know yourself with that kind of awareness, you actually understand that nothing else really is your cause and effect.
Yes.
Nothing else. It has made you suffer. Nothing else. You're not a victim, and nobody else or nothing else made you. You're drawing.
Yes.
And you can figure out patterns that show you. It doesn't mean you don't have appreciation for others. It doesn't mean that people that do bad things aren't really doing bad things.
Mm-hmm.
It's ultimately the awareness that you are actually in control. You are the master trader. And once you have that kind of awareness of how things in the past has even served you, good and bad, here's where the unbinding happens, right?
Because right.
The future events that happen, you're less threatened by.
Right.
So it's easier to follow this compass, even though the seeming outcomes can be, negative, scary, because you've now seen through the retrospective lens that everything has served you, even at times when it didn't serve you. Now, in hindsight, you realize it did. So you'll just say, okay, let me just be in truth in the first place, rather than have a whole bunch more experience of not being in truth, in my truth, only to look back and go, and then learn. The faster I get in alignment, the faster I experience what I'm supposed to be experiencing, because my actual essence is what is the prevailing draw.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch. Dr. Michelle here. My special guest is Aaron McCormick. He's written a fabulous book. It's called Unbounded: Journey to Your Within. And we're talking about how to create your lives a little bit better. Touches on Aaron's own experiences. You're extremely successful, multimillionaire, corporate superstar, and acknowledged with awards and accolades. And yet you get a lot of what's going on in your life done through joy and empathy. And I'm with you on that. I mean, we are all, my studies are in physics, my background a lot. So I do believe in the quantum field. We are all connected. We are all one. And what we're broadcasting in our thought out there and in our heart comes right back to us. We're transmitters and we're receivers. So, I mean, I believe you are right along the same lines in my belief system. And I share with my listeners and my patients many times, it's like you're sort of addicted to that feeling of being a victim, like you said. Sounds to me like you're kind of addicted to that old story that says, I'm a loser, I'm a victim, I'm whatever, I'm doomed to, and that which you think you are. So let's change it up and let's go within and let's find out. And in your teachings and in your own truth, do you believe that there is a sense of importance with self-forgiveness? You talk about self-love. How do we get there?
Well, that's part of the process, is the connecting of dots. I use that phrase a lot, of what has happened, how I felt in the moment that these things happened, how I feel now, and what are the patterns that have played out in multiple ways, in multiple scenarios, mm-hmm. that are trying to teach me something to appreciate about my truth, or what I'm fighting against, a lesson that keeps trying to be taught to me. So, for example, one of the things I talk about, you just mentioned how things get old, the luster. So a lot of us are stuck in situations where we aren't fulfilled in our job. we want more money as well. And yet we feel like we can't switch because the world identifies us as whatever our career has been, and we still got to pay bills. And so we feel like we are completely stuck in that context. Mm-hmm. Well, again, if we go back through and we look at everything that has made us what we are, and we think about, okay, so money is why I'm afraid of not doing what actually feels joyful to me. But now let's think about money for a moment. Which is more valuable? What's the most valuable thing all of us have? Over our families, over everything. People are probably like, what do you mean over my family? There's nothing more valuable than that.
Right.
There's something more valuable than even the love you have with your families, with our family. And that is time. Because without time, you can't even love them.
Right.
You're just not here.
Yeah.
So if time is our most valuable asset and we all have the same amount of time, then nobody is really more rich than you, because every billionaire will give away all their billions for more time. So if that's true, and you're sitting on hundreds of billions of dollars, so to speak, how are you squandering that? If life has told you that you have to spend it in ways that you hate, and yet you're filthy rich, you don't have to do anything. We often think the super rich, they don't got a dream. They have no boss. They don't have to. Well, you're actually filthy rich with your time. And of course you're thinking, well, that's not true because, hello, I got to pay bills.
Yes.
We'll get to that too. But the point is, we first have to recognize that we have abundance because the thing that's most valuable that all of us have, we all have an equal share of. Unless, of course, we're on our deathbed. Something is going on.
Sure,
we have a little bit of time. But even in that context, we all have the same hour units, 24 hours in a day, that kind of thing. And even then, we decide how we're going to spend that super important time. So, so we have this binder, if you will, that has told us that we're stuck. And actually, we're burning our most valuable assets. So then we have to say, all right, well, if that's true, then how do I get to where I can spend my time exactly as I want?
Yes.
Well, you actually start doing it, and your priorities have to shift, because we've been taught that this thing or that thing, these luxuries are, and believe me, so when you say millionaire, all that stuff, nobody knows the journey that I've been on and the decisions I've had to make.
Yes.
To be true to me, that cost me huge amounts of money.
Yes.
Set me back, put me at rock bottom, and go through the process. So it's an ongoing journey, and I wouldn't change anything about even any of the rock bottoms, because I was actually abundant because I was living the truth and doing with my time exactly what I wanted to do with it, to serve myself, to serve others, that kind of thing. In various situations. So here's how that works. Just on the career things. I know a lot of people are, you know, as we sit here in a COVID situation.
Oh, yes.
What's interesting is that it's serving us, because the things that have kept us from action is the fear of ding to the credit, or rent, or all these financial repercussions. Well, now the jobs have been yanked away from many people. Many of us, the job is not there. So you have to face that. And you've been going through it for a while, and you realize, I'm still alive.
Yes.
You know, and so it's like like facing that big bully and realizing, oh, the bully's not so powerful. So now that you realize I can exist, and I can, you know, it's not the end of the world. Now, when the lights come back on, do I want to continue to be spending my most valuable asset, squandering it? I shouldn't say spending, squandering it, where there is zero heart connection, no natural affinity, where it's in our essence to be whatever that job is. If it's not a natural fit, as in something that kind of matches an archetype of you when you were young, aspects of it that has just always been true to what you are and gives you current joy to do so, then the time is being squandered. So then what you say is, okay, well, we've learned that the things that we've placed a priority on aren't really serving us, because we've either lost them. That's the nice thing about struggle. It distills our essence, right? I mean, like, It teaches you who and what you really are.
Yes.
And lowers the veil on the things that you've made define you. You've made to define you.
Yes.
In reality, they don't, because they don't actually fulfill you.
Right.
I'll talk about the lesson that you mentioned, Dr. Michelle, about how the luster wears off. So once you've identified, okay, I am squandering my time. Now what do I do? Well, this goes back to the joy thing. What are the things that feel good?
Yes.
Do them more.
Yeah, yes.
I kind of do them more, even after your work. It doesn't mean you just quit your job, but you just go back to the things that you've lost, because the job takes you until 6 or 7. Then it's time to take care of the family, et cetera, et cetera. And then, so you have become lost, because the things that are joyful to you, you've kind of not done, because the world says you got to provide, you got to be a mom, you got to be a husband, you got to be, gotta. So you're doing all these things, and so now you go back and take care of you a little bit. And then you start to realize, well, that feels really good. It feels a lot better than the ego joy I get by having this thing or this extra luxury watch or purse or car. And you start to think like an entrepreneur, and you go, well, to have more of that all valuable, most valuable thing, time, to do what I love, I'm going to get rid of that thing that sits there 80% of the time until I get in it, or I'm going to reduce that car.
Yes.
Or I'm going to reduce that luxury, whatever the item is.
Right.
Because that reducing that or getting rid of it creates money, and money gives you the space to pay bills while you do more of the thing you love. So before you know it, you end up reducing that job to part-time, for example. And maybe you phase it out completely, because while you're doing what you love, you creatively find ways that come in. You don't even have to sometimes deliberately try to do it. They manifest because your vibe is higher. And remember, the higher in frequency we are, the stronger our antenna to pull back to what we already are. And you will be pulling when you're in a high vibe state.
Yeah.
Because when you're in a controlled state, everything you pull is more control, more division, more negativity. You're in a high vibe state, you pull encounters, opportunities, partnerships, ideas that are more of the same. So there's a process that we can all do to even get free in that context.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. In case you just tuned in, guys, you're on Facebook Live. You're on LA Talk Radio. And also latalkradio.com, channel 1 here, broadcasting from the couch. Dr. Michelle, my special guest is Aaron McCormick. He's written an amazing book. It's called Unbounded: Journey to Your Within. And that leads us to a great email I just got from Will here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Will said, "Hey, Aaron, I love the interview. Tell me how to go within! Thank you, Will. All right, let's go within, everybody.
So, Will, great question. Remember, we are always at the crossroads of every decision, or the crossroads is there at every decision. It's here, which is the extrinsic, or it's here. Mm. So the simple answer is eliminate internal conflict. Your answer is already there. You have a lot of internal conflict, and you don't want to face what following that internal thing is. You don't want to face the outside repercussions of it. And so we tend to suppress.
Yes.
So, you know, if you pick a topic, you'll know to yourself how you've been lying to yourself a bit, biting your tongue, suppressing yourself, not living your truth. And that's how you are without. You are living out here. You're not living within the truth. So the book takes you on that journey. You can also do it on your own. This is just like a guide. It's a journey across scenarios, prodding you with introspective questions when you were in that energy, so that you can start to learn the patterns that are in your journey that have been you, waiting for you to consciously connect, because you already have everything you need. You are everything. Look, science says 90% of our thought is unconscious. We don't even know why we are as we are.
Right.
That's the whole point of going within. You know, I was the first and only guest, I think, to date of a hypnosis talk show of hypnotherapists helping
people
learning about hypnotherapy. They've had 150 guests. I was the only one that was not a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
Because this is really a conscious way to decrypt your unconscious, or to, I'm sorry, your subconscious. So a conscious way to decrypt your subconscious, which is making you tick all the time. So
right.
There's a series of events in your life that will have latent messages, and you'll look back on them and you'll go, wow, I have always perceived that experience this way.
Yes.
Perceived yes. it this way because everything outside of you has told you that that's how you're supposed to perceive it, that yes. that equated to a failure or et cetera. So I'll give you an example of me now knowing and going within and kind of learning a pattern to decrypt things about me.
Okay.
So I am oddly ambidextrous. So ooh. I play tennis left hand, I write left hand, I bowl left handed, cut left handed. So I'm basically a lefty, mm-hmm. but not quite because ooh. I'm a dominant pitcher.
All right.
I ball right.
Yeah.
I dribble right. I bat right. So my strongest hand when it comes to big movements yes. is right. But that's not even entirely true because to throw right-handed, you would think I would play tennis right-handed because
correct.
It's a serving motion.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I throw right, I tennis left. So that's just, so file that away.
Interesting.
Ambidextrous. I'm super athletic, super business intellectual. I'm a type A male in terms of, you know, I'm athletic. I'm sometimes lack patience at times. The wife is more patient with the kids. So I'm all these very masculine things.
Right.
Masculine things, but then on the flip side, highly empathetic. Like I might cry in a movie quicker than my wife or then
love it
in some cases. So file that away. And this has been my life, right? And I hate injustice and bullying and all that stuff. Then in grad school, I was the only one that, you know, out of all 75, they had us go through an exam of how do you learn?
Mm.
How do you best learn? Do you learn mm-hmm. better visibly?
Right.
Audibly?
Right.
Yeah. I was the only one that plotted squarely in the middle. I literally have no bias in terms of, it doesn't mean anything. It's just my truth. Now,
yes.
Now, when you also consider that I've been a very secular person in my career.
Yes.
But this is a very business as well as esoteric spiritual book
yes.
in terms of the essence.
Yes.
I'm left and right brained.
Yes.
I'm a bit of a bridge, if you will. Right. And I'm also, you know, I've lived a very black, so to speak, as they would call it.
Sure.
Experience. Gangs, the whole bit. South yep. side of Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've then transcended. And here I am in white corporate America, the only black, the youngest person, no degree. And I'm killing it. And I'm like, you know, I'm in a weird way. I've chosen to show up in this world as
yes.
a paradigm buster.
Yes.
When I was
yes.
in high school, as a senior, you know, if you have enough credits, you get to pick which work program you're in.
Right,
and
right.
I was the only male in the keyboarding class.
Oh, you're so funny. I love that.
In my yearbook, there's a picture of 20 women around me, girls, and I'm the only dude. All the other dudes, they chose to go to distributed education work program. They're working at UPS, at retail, Walmart, making more money because their jobs were closer. I was commuting downtown at a bank, wearing a suit, and I learned how to type because I said, look, computers is like language. You got to be able to
right.
type.
Right, right.
But at the time, again, mostly black school, maybe 60, 70% black,
yeah.
pretty well mixed. And the masculinity, the mindset is that's for girls, that's secretary.
Sure. No.
I lived my truth. Now,
yeah.
any of us that were thinking that, most because, and the one that asked the question, was it Will? Was that his name?
Will.
That asked the question? Okay. So most of the time, most of us in that situation would say, be cool to learn typing, but the only do, nope, ain't going there.
Right?
So there was my opportunity to go within and follow me or to cower, so to speak, to the fear of the external reality kind of having a problem with it. So
sure.
every day you're at these crossroads. You've got
yes.
topics and it's your job to assess congruency.
Yes.
Is
yes.
this really my truth? Another quick example. This is extremely timely.
And I just want to say to you, we're wrapping up here pretty soon. Where our 50 minutes of this thing went so fast. Yes. But if you can just lay it out there, a quickie to help viewers and listeners with who Erin McCormick is and how you would lay it out to help others, just to say the last few words.
Okay. Well, I'm here to be a mirror, so to speak. Just show us all what we already are. I don't consider myself a guru. I've connected some, seen some patterns that we're not allowing to serve us, experiences that we haven't allowed to serve us. Yes. So it's my hope that the more we learn the truth of who we are, what we are, before we become the thing that we think we are, the more appreciation for us, the less fear of others, which means vision goes away. Mm-hmm. You're no longer worried about being threatened at your job, who's doing you wrong, because you know that everything serves you either way. And so without that division and fear and threat, more unity happens, because now you let people just be them without worrying that it's going to somehow diminish you. Nothing diminishes you.
Beautiful.
So hopefully we all ascend in the sense that we appreciate, love each other a bit more by learning ourselves a bit more. That's really the objective there. And what I was going to do, Dr. Michelle, was had to do with what happened on the playground with a mom regarding Black Lives Matter and what she told her four-year-old son about my four-year-old son. Do we have time for that? Is that for another segment?
Actually, let's do it again. Let's come on back again. Maybe we got a wrap thing. I really want to hear this story though. So we can share this again.
A discussion with my wife about this is on my Instagram. So
love it.
Sneak peek and see it there.
All right. And Erin McCormick, again, guys, check out his book. It's amazing. He says he's not a guru. I think you are. I'm sorry. I think you're a thought, heart, brain, empathy, very high vibrational being here. Unbounded Journey to Your Within, Erin McCormick. Check it out. One of the books I'm going to use in my psychological practice for folks to get with it spiritually, be in a higher consciousness. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed
it. Such a great chat. I want more. Come on back later, okay? All right, Erin. Okay, guys, that's it. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. And as I always do say, take care of yourselves first, please. And then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Thanks for joining me on the couch. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.